Our next presentation will be given by Dr. Geraldine Gorman. She is a faculty member in the Department of Public Health in the College of Nursing at the University of Illinois Chicago. For the past 3 years, she has been the coordinator for the Chicago chapter of the program Emergency. And this is a nonprofit organization which has been working with civilian victims of war to try and help them with their immigration process. So I'll have you introduce now Dr. Gorman.
Thank you.
Sure.
Which way does this click?
This one. Just go forward.
Yeah, okay.
Good afternoon. This is a report of a trip that I took to Nicaragua in August of 2007. The purpose was to lay the foundation for a collaboration between United States healthcare workers, particularly nurses, and more particularly the student nurses at the University of Illinois at Chicago, where I teach, and the International Human Rights and Healthcare Organization Emergency, which was just beginning to break ground for a new maternal child healthcare center in Lyon. I was accompanied by one of our graduate students, Mary Lou Carrera, who was supposed to be here with me today, but in the way of graduate students, she didn't schedule her time off at the hospital, so she was not able to be with me, but she did contribute to the presentation, and I am grateful for her long-distance help. So I will present a brief overview of what we encountered in our brief few weeks in the cities of Managua, Lyon, and on the island of Ompetepe. But I want to also situate this within a larger context, and that is what our experience illustrates about trying to foster international cooperation against the backdrop of the last 8 years of American national policy. In that vein, our crossing of the borders represents a cautionary tale. Emergency is an international NGO providing free and high-quality health care to civilian victims of war. It was founded in 1994 by the Italian war surgeon Gino Strada, and it currently operates in 8 countries, including Iraq, Afghanistan, and Darfur. Emergency builds state-of-the-art hospitals, and it provides extensive rehab, including the provision of prostheses. And it offers employment opportunities to people living in war-devastated countries, providing them an opportunity for sustainable income, often in a land where all other sources of income have been destroyed. It is the expectation and the mission of Emergency that once established, the running and the maintenance of the hospitals, first aid posts, and rehab centers will be turned back over and assumed by the community members of the country. The mission of the organization arose from the experience of Gino Strada, who, after many years of working with the Red Cross around the world, recognized the need for an effective organization which can respond to the multiple challenges experienced by the innocent victims of war. His commitment to serving their needs and his outrage at the fact that in our current society, 90% of the victims of war are civilians, and of those, 1/3 are women and children, provided the impetus for Emergency's work worldwide. In 2005, Emergency entered an agreement with the Nicaraguan Ministry of Health to build a new facility for women and children on the grounds of the old San Vicente Hospital in Lyon. My own involvement with Emergency coincided with the beginning of the war in Iraq. Like so many others, I was horrified by the inevitability and folly of this war and how impotent we seemed to be to prevent it. Around that time, during a conversation with Kathy Kelly, who is the founder of the Iraqi witness group, Voices in the Wilderness, I learned about the work of Emergency and the efforts of another Italian physician living in Pittsburgh to establish an American chapter of the organization. This physician's name is Alberto Colombi, and in 2005, Emergency USA was incorporated as a 501c3 entity in the U.S. That began 2 years of fervent and energetic collaboration between the fledgling national organization and a small group in Chicago, primarily fueled by the dedication and idealism of our students in the College of Nursing at UIC. With so many bilingual nursing students, with concentrations in midwifery or women's health, this new project, situated in a neighboring country, appeared to be a perfect union of needs and talents. Mary Lou served as the coordinator of Emergency USA student group, organizing fundraisers and forums and bake sales to raise awareness about emergencies work. And so when the opportunity came to do a needs assessment and explore the possibility of collaboration within Nicaragua, the two of us were dispatched. I received funding through the Nuveen International Aid Program at our university, and Mary Lou was supported by Emergency. During our first few days in Nicaragua, we were immediately struck by the intensity of the political landscape. Graffiti denouncing American policy was ubiquitous. Nicaragua is a country defined and formed by revolution, and the shrines to the heroes are as visible as the criticism of the enemies. Che, Agostino Sandino, and Carlos Fonseca were omnipresent, gazing at us from street murals, restaurant walls, and the courtyards of the hostels in which we stayed. Nicaragua is also a country of stark poverty. As well as a land of great beauty and vibrant color. We spent most of our time in Leon, since that is the site of the new hospital that Emergency is building, and also the headquarters for the few Italian staff who have been laying the project groundwork for the past few years. As mentioned, Emergency and the Ministry of Health jointly identified the needs of women and children as the greatest priority in Nicaragua. The maternal mortality rate is high, though precise statistics are hard to come by. Official documents range from 148 per 100,000 live births to UNICEF's figure of 250 per 100,000. Birth rates are also high, with females becoming sexually active quite early, 38% by 16 and 73% by 19. A study released in 2007 by the Human Rights Watch found that Nicaraguan women's health and quality of life have been severely impacted by the country's blanket ban on abortions. This ban includes all therapeutic procedures and makes no exceptions for rape or incest. This has affected not only the safe termination of pregnancies, but also the basic obstetric and gynecological care as well. Women are fearful of seeking help for complications during pregnancy, and physicians are much more cautious in their treatments. And the incidence of gynecological cancer among both younger and women is also frighteningly high, made more dangerous by the scarcity of skilled healthcare providers and women's reluctance to seek treatment. For all of these reasons, and because the healthcare infrastructure has never fully recovered from the effects of so many years of war, Emergency came to Leon and established its presence in the old UN headquarters, seen in the slide with the logo, the international logo for Emergency. Three Italian nationals and a host of local Nicaraguan community members have been working over the past 3 years to raise community awareness of their presence and to clear the land for the construction of the new facility. Two of Emergency's trucks that they use on the grounds of the new building. The city of Leon, Nicaragua, is home to approximately 380,000 people and the largest cathedral in Central America. Nearly half of this population currently lives within the city borders. The city is a grid, with the greatest activity just off Central Market. Here is the location of the Cathedral de Leon and the majority of businesses as well, located within a 6-block radius. The only hospital in Leon, the public hospital of Hiadra, is 2 blocks from the center. The area thrives because the location on the grid has continuous electricity and running water available. In other areas, water is shut off every day from 7 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock in the evening. Many of the families and business owners would pump water and store them in barrels for drinking or to flush the toilets because they were not part of the main water line. Those with the means purchased their own water tower. Hiadra is the only hospital in Leon, a public hospital that is also a teaching hospital. Its residents come from the university in Lyon, which is walking distance from the hospital. Hiadra was deteriorating from the outside inward, with screenless windows and flies buzzing in and out. Inside, the building permeated with the smell of food that had been lying in garbage bins for far too long. The housekeeper swept the dirt with a damp mop from one end of the hall to the other. Air conditioning units were used in the tops of door frames instead of in the windows, leaking Freon fluid into the buckets lining the hallways. This was on the first floor near the entrance. We didn't take pictures on the inside of the hospital for obvious reasons, but patients' rooms on the OBGYN floor are commonly shared by up to 12 women at one time. There are no curtains between the beds, so any exams are done in full view of any passersby. Visiting hours are not regularly enforced. Friends and family members hang out in the hallways or in the patients' rooms, and staff will not ask visitors to leave because they typically bring food and linen to the patients, items not standardly supplied by the hospitals. Women receive episiotomies while visitors walk outside the hallway, their rooms visible through the glass with no curtains drawn. Infants share bassinets while waiting for their mothers. Balconies are located on each floor along the main passages that patients and visitors travel. These are used for storage. Broken mattresses, rusted bed frames, and chairs were piled on each other in these areas. Thank you. The labor and delivery and mother-baby wards had multiple women in each room, despite the absence of privacy. The mother and baby ward had three rooms dedicated specifically to women who came in with high-risk pregnancies in either the first 4.5 or the last 4.5 months of their pregnancy. One nurse is assigned to these patients. Typically, there are three nurses who manage the remaining patients, often resulting in a patient load of 30 to 35 patients per nurse. C-section mothers are kept close to the nurses' station for monitoring. 300 nurses are employed by Hiadra, but not all of them provide patient care. Some are responsible only for patient transfers, while others perform the laboratory testing and so on. Two isolation rooms were delineated on the mother-baby floor, but there were no signs identifying these rooms as such. No gowns, gloves, or masks were available for maintaining precautions once inside. In an effort to better understand the needs of the many women and children not located in urban areas, and also to get a sense of the more traditional therapies and treatments, we traveled to the volcanic island of Ometepe to meet with a group of naturopathic doctors from the States who have been settled on the island and provide its only source of consistent health care. Naturopathic Doctors International, or NDI, began practice on Ometepe several years ago, led by a young physician who saw the need for naturopathic services and decided to stay. Dr. Tabitha Parker has since continued to host medical brigades of young students who assist with the community clinics and work on their assessment skills at the hospital. She teaches class on international economics, focusing on how the actions of the large international corporations influence the small and vulnerable countries like Nicaragua. Such classes are not offered in traditional medical schools and provide a perspective most healthcare students will not glean in Western schools of medicine. In another exercise that Tabitha offers, she provides each student the equivalent of one American dollar and sends them out to the few stores that are located on the island to gather the food, hygiene products, and healthcare staples necessary to maintain a family of five for the day. Again, the island of Ometepe illustrates the Nicaraguan contrast between natural beauty and wrenching poverty. This was the kitchen of the host family with whom we stayed. All of the medical brigade students who visit the island stay with host families. The island is peaceful and lush and dependent on tourist trade to eke out an existence. The farmers work long and hard to till the land with virtually no modern technology. Tabitha Parker, pictured here, addressing the other students. She's pictured here in one of the three island clinics that they run, and as I mentioned, she's the founder of NDI. She's also married to an organic farmer whose family has worked the land for generations. Until meeting and marrying Tabitha, he had never left the island. She's a tireless clinician and a dedicated educator, and she's utterly committed to the Nicaraguan country and community in which she has made her home. Our time at the site for Emergencies Women and Infants Hospital was spent wandering the beautiful landscape and peering at the remaining structures from the old San Vicente Hospital. The hospital closed during the 1970s due to a lack of funding and was subsequently taken over as training ground for the Sandinistas. The existing remains are to be incorporated into the new hospital, forming a laboratory, two dormitories with amenities for the international volunteers, a kitchen for staff and patient visitors, and two administrative offices. The site is dotted with various fruit trees, and a section along the northern boundary is designated for a vegetable garden. There will be a patio in the middle showcasing the various indigenous plants and flowers. The development is slow, but it's underway with a crew of 12 local community members under the supervision of Fabrizio and Emiliano, the two emergency staff dispatched from Milan. There are many inspections required for the site, including evaluation of potential tectonic plates below the hospital site. The topsoil is partially ash from the numerous volcanoes still active throughout the district, and specialists check the depth and quality of soil periodically. At the center of the existing buildings are piles of unusable equipment, rusted and broken, the carcasses of hospital beds, bed frames, microscopes, commodes, bedpans, ultrasound machines, wheelchairs, tables, lamps, metal on metal, waves of rust, dangerous spikes of nail heads, the open arms of tetanus and infection abundant. And yet they pose like fallen friends, those castaway items and historical remnants. Much more work needs to be done, millions more needed to be raised in donations to complete the development. It's Emilio and Fabrizio and one of their local workers standing in the doorway of their makeshift headquarters on the hospital grounds. Another shot of Emiliano with one of the local workers. On our last day in Nicaragua and in Managua, Fabrizio and Emiliano drove us back to Managua, where we spent the night at Quaker House, talking and exchanging ideas with the director there, who's an expatriate dropout from Cornell University, who left the States to join the Guatemalan struggle decades ago and never returned. We were excited and energized by all we had experienced, and we looked forward to returning home to raise the necessary funds and awareness to complete the project in the not-too-distant future. What we hadn't envisioned was the implosion of Emergency USA's infrastructure, weakened over the past few years by the growing strains and mistrust between the American and international offices. Post-9/11 suspicion of foreigners using nonprofit organizations to front shady political agendas resulted in a sort of Patriot Act fallout, which ultimately forced the Italian founders, Gino Strada and his wife Teresa, who's the president of the international organization, off of the board of Emergency USA. Growing anti-American sentiments fueled by the escalating wars and policies of the Bush administration further fanned the flames. In December of 2007, an inferno erupted with the president of Emergency USA, Alberto Colombi, resigning and the American board voting to dissolve. 3 months of feverish communication and correspondence eventually yielded an interim advisory committee to rewrite the bylaws and to reapply for the 501c3 status under a new name with fresh board composition, a tedious process which is now underway. The dissolution of Emergency USA intersected with and complemented the waning days of this administration. In 2005, in the early days of the war and the beginning of the second Bush presidency, Emergency USA provided a much-needed outlet to channel energy, despair, and hope, a way to transcend our feelings of impotence. That it finally succumbed to the pressures of international mistrust and suspicion, fault lines which deepened under the past 8 years, provide a cautionary tale for those who cross borders seeking international cooperation. We cannot fully transcend the implications of our own national policy, despite how vehemently we may disavow it. The sequelae of devastation resulting from this administration is deep and far-reaching. Its repair will be tentative and time-consuming, requiring the crossing of borders with quiet humility and patience. Thank you.